Blog Talk Radio.
Take it, baby.
Oh, I wish I was in a land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Sing it, fellas.
I was born early, Lord, one frosty morn. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
You're a fantastic audience. Thank you, thank you very much.
Thank you. Rise, March 8th, Against the Wall. 2015, flying by already. It's already March 8th. Spring forward, Sunday. If your clock says 10 o'clock, you've done it wrong. It's actually 11 o'clock. A little gabby today, but I do want to cover some things. I recently had a conversation with a gentleman who's an Eisenhower fan, so I want to play a speech from the 40s, and it's about 5 minutes, so we'll get to that in a few minutes. Obviously, the title of the show is What's Going On. You know, it's doesn't seem that things are going to get any better. We, I'm in the security field. A few months ago, some things went out for security for all these oil companies were going to go into negotiations with their unions. You know, so they were recruiting through a couple companies for security officers to Louisiana and places like that. Obviously, we've had 3 train wrecks in the last, I don't think it's even been a month, all of them with crude oil. All of them either ended up in a river or on fire. I saw yesterday where there was a recycle oil storage place, I think, in South Dakota that blew up. I don't know. I don't know if you guys remember, but, I think it was last year where there was an attack on this electric facility in California, and it barely even made the paper. I think it made the local, but not a lot was said. Months later, we found out, that more likely that was a terrorist attack, and I'm not saying that's what these are, but it's an awful coincidence that the oil line or the pipeline was thrown in the wind, and now all of a sudden all these things happen. It's, I don't know, kind of odd. But anyway, let me get to the Eisenhower thing so we can gab a little bit after this, but I want to get through this, so here it is.
There is only one real peace now, and that is peace for all time. Now, there are 3 imperatives of peace, 3 requirements that the prudent man must face with unblinking realism. The first imperative is the elementary necessity of maintaining our own national strength, moral, economic, and military. It is still my conviction, as I wrote in 1947, the compelling necessities of the moment leave us no alternative to the maintenance of real and respectable strength, not only in our moral rectitude and our economic power, but in terms of adequate military preparedness. Our economic power, as everyone knows, is displaying a capacity for growth which is both rapid and sound, even while supporting record military budgets. We must keep it growing. But moral strength is also essential. Today, we are competing for men's hearts and minds and trust all over the world. In such a competition, what we are at home and what we do at home is even more important than what we say abroad. Here again, my friends, we find constructive work for each of us. What each of us does, how each of us acts, has an influence on this question. Now, the second imperative of peace is collective security. We live in a shrunken world, a world in which oceans are crossed in hours, a world in which a single-minded despotism menaces the scattered freedoms of scores of struggling independent nations. To ensure the combined strength of friendly nations is for all of us an elementary matter of self-preservation, as elementary as having a stout militia in the days of the flintlock. Again, the strength I speak of is not military strength alone. The heart of the collective security principle is the idea of helping other nations to realize their own potentialities, political, economic, and military. The strength of the free world lies not in cementing the free world into a second monolithic mass to compete with that of the communists. It lies rather in the unity that comes of the voluntary association of nations, which, however diverse, are developing their own capacities and asserting their own national destinies in a world of freedom and of mutual respect. There can be no enduring peace for any nation while other nations suffer privation, oppression, and a sense of injustice and despair. in our modern world, it is madness to suppose that there could be an island of tranquility and prosperity in a sea of wretchedness and frustration. For America's sake, as well as the world's, we must measure up to the challenge of the second imperative, the urgent need for mutual economic and military cooperation among the free nations, sufficient to deter or repel aggression wherever it may threaten. But even this is no longer enough. We are in the era of the thermonuclear bomb that can obliterate cities and can be delivered across continents. With such weapons, war has become not just tragic, but preposterous. With such weapons, there can be no victory for anyone. Plainly, the objective now must be to see that such a war does not occur at all. And so the third imperative of peace is this: without for a moment relaxing our internal and collective defenses, we must actively try to bridge the great chasm that separates from the peoples under communist rule. In those regions are millions of individual human beings who have been our friends and who themselves have sincerely wanted peace and freedom throughout so much of our mutual history. Now, for years, the Iron Curtain was impenetrable. Our people were unable to talk to these individuals behind the curtain, or travel among them, or share their arts or sports, or invite them to see what life is like in a free democracy. We are beginning to be able, cautiously and with our eyes open, to encourage some interchange of ideas, of books, magazines, students, tourists, artists, radio programs, technical experts, religious leaders, and governmental officials. The hope is, little by little, mistrust based on falsehoods will give way to international understanding based on truth.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff. one thing obviously is for sure, America's changed. There's some parts of that speech that I agree with, and there's some that I think is the problem now. I went to an event in Monroe. Monroe is the home of the River Raisin, which is the only battlefield we have in Michigan. We got a lot of history stuff, but as far as that kind of stuff, there's not really a lot. I ran into that gentleman, and I actually found out from the Civil War fans where Harrison's Baron, Henry Harrison, the spy from Gettysburg, and looks like I'm going to have to go visit Fort Mitchell, Kentucky. He's buried in the Highland Cemetery, Section 18207. It was cool to run into that guy. The guy was in his 90s and knew more history than I could even, he's probably forgot more history than I even know. He kind of looks like Eisenhower, too, a little bit. Obviously, a lot of these people were reenactors, and, believe it or not, that's really the only people out there that's teaching history, and not many of them will even agree, what it's all about. But anyway, getting into this conversation of what's going on, I don't know, guys. The ATF said today, on their ban, or not today, but this week, that, the 855 ammo has always been banned, and it was a misprint. I don't believe that. I mean, they would allow, if that was the case, they would allow all those rounds to go out. I don't buy it. There's been some moves in Congress where they want to restrict the ATF of being able to do that kind of stuff, but I don't really think that's gonna help. The King Jordan, the King of Jordan, said that World War III has already started, and has it? I mean, it's. I see a resurgence in the patriot community with a lot of people, starting to wake up and you know, it's you know, getting back to this thing I went to, you know, the guy was talking about, you know, my biggest fear is not many people will wake up, or I won't be able to wake up many people. And when something does happen, it's going to be too late. You know, I think success on this state, as any other states, is on its people, you know, being able to survive, because it's, you know, if we don't survive, then what's the point? And, you know, he made something, you know, that kind of stuck out to me, is something that he said that, not, you know, maybe a lot of people don't want to wake up, you know, if it does, if it's not in their eyesight, it's not a big deal. You know, a lot of the guys that go out every weekend and go to the bars or bowling or softball, and I'm not saying those things are bad things. I absolutely love those things. But I just can't put resources towards it, you know, knowing some of the things that I know. You know, and he asked, he's like, well, are you happier for it? No, I'm not happier for it. And again, sometimes, as with a lot of people that awake, so to speak, it's almost a curse. It's like, you know, I wouldn't say it's hard to be happy, but it's hard to spend things on things what people would deem as fun. You know, like Cedar Point. You know, Cedar Point would absolutely be fun, but, you know, who has the money for $50 a ticket for that? So is it a curse to be awake? I'd have to say, yeah. You know, every move that is made, I think it's, you know, well thought about. Obviously, you can tell from that speech that I played that our rights have been threatened for years. You know, even on, I think it was Savage Nation, he was talking about, you know, the best way to kill ISIS with a neutron bomb. You know, it's one of those perfect weapons that, you know, kills the bad guys but doesn't kill the good guys, and doesn't destroy the environment, you know, like a nuclear bomb. And we don't have any of them, not even in our arsenal. There's countries that have them. And I believe he said Bush Sr. was the one that took them out. I don't understand that move. You know, was it to weaken us? Obviously, Iran's going to get a nuclear weapon. If you're saying that they're not, you're foolish. You know, China, to me, a couple of weeks ago, was to show that they can do it, you know, fired a satellite into space, you know, that they were seeing, you know, in the West Coast, you know, Oregon, you know, Washington. You know, there was calls in, you know, talking about it. There's even video out there that shows it. So obviously, countries like that have the technology to reach us. If our money fails, what's to stop them from coming to get what we've already given them? You know, China owns a lot of this country. Would we be able to stop them if they came and took it? I don't know. You know, as a 70s kid, you grow up as, you know, the American is the mightiest, and nobody would dare because there's a rifle behind every blade of glass. And, well, we have a president in office who's trying to weaken us as a nation. What's the point of all that? I have another thing I want to play from Ronald Reagan. And this is, obviously, this has been going around on YouTube and Facebook also. So I'm going to let you guys hear it.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement, and this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement, and it gives no choice between peace and war. Only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday When the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material complications. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
I think he said it best. I think as a nation, we need to dig in. We need to hold the line. We need to quit giving up so easy. You know, the brunt of the blow of all this has been on the patriot community. They separated us. And I'm not talking about the separations within. We all know how to fix that, and I believe it'll be fixed. But I'm talking about how can we bring more people in without isolating ourselves. You know, let's face it, anyone that's awoke, you go tell your families and you tell your friends and you tell everyone you can possibly tell, because you tell the people that you care about, but they look at you like you're half crazy. Stay on it. Wake them up. We need everybody. We need everything. Again, one of the biggest things that I've ever talked on this show or any show I've been on, everybody agrees there's something coming. Let's acknowledge that. Let's make sure other people acknowledge that. That's how important the task is. It doesn't matter what group you're with. Try to wake up people in your circle. Then maybe those, you know, even if one listens, then they'll start to try to wake up people in their circle. Maybe we can get more than 3%. I had a conversation years ago with a gentleman when it was asked, you know, obviously 3% of the population fought and supported the revolutions. We don't have 3% right now. We maybe have 0.5. What would happen if we do get that 3%? And you guys can do it. We can all do it. I think it's time to get done. I think it's time we move forward. And as always, train. If you're not with the group and you're from the state of Michigan, you can go to Michigan Independent Patriots. The gentleman over there will definitely send you in the right direction. There's a lot of commanders over there from other groups. If you want to grow and join another group of awake people more on a national level, there's a Facebook page out there called Tank and Tony. They have several radio shows, and Tony is a money expert, and I might be using him shortly on one of these shows. Also, you know, check your local militias. Also, if you're looking to join a national militia, obviously there's a lot of them out there. Give them a look, see what those people have to say. But you got to get involved. Ain't none of us are going to ride the sideline on this. If you do, you're going to end up dead. So let's get into the game. We've all done, you know, we've all joined this to do something. Now it's time that we something gets done. Have a great week, guys. Hopefully it's going to stay on its path to staying warm here. Get out there, do something, talk to somebody. Go to these historical groups. There's a lot of half-awake people in there. They might just need a nudge to get them over rest. Obviously, in these reenactment groups, there's some older people in there that's have a vast knowledge in their subjects. Start talking to those folks before they're gone. Once history's lost, it's lost. There's no way to get it back. All right, I love you guys. We'll see you next week. Be safe and God bless.